Everybody has been talking about turning off the air. If you want to do that, we can do that at this point so you can hear better, but that's up to whoever knows how to do it, because I'm not going to get in and do it. So we're in the midst of a sermon series about getting closer to God. Last week we saw that we can get closer to God by reordering and simplifying our private lives. And we do this by replacing the busyness of this world with our walk with Jesus. And we must realize, folks, we do not have to do all of the things and all of the activities that the world offers. And this morning we want to look at what the Bible says about being silent. Look at a little verse here in Psalm 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." It's almost like there's a condition here where it says, if you will be quiet, and you will try, stop trying to do everything, and stop trying to be busy, and stop trying to be God, then the lost world around you will know that I am God. We had the experience of going to China to adopt two children, and our first child, Joy, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with either method, I want you to understand that. We let everyone know we were going to get a child in China, and many people contributed financially to doing that, to help us to do that. We were able to, I spoke and talked to people, and basically, well, there were several fundraisers to help us. Nothing wrong with any of that. But when we decided to go get our second daughter, the Lord impressed upon us not to make a big deal out of it. You know, we told people we were going and everything, but we didn't tell anyone about any financial needs that we had. And it was the amazing thing about that, every time that a need showed up, that a bill was coming due or something needed to be paid, the money came in really kind of weird ways, you know. I could go into great detail and tell you all about that, but I think I've done that before anyway. But the point I'm trying to make is that we learn by being still in those situations that God was really glorified. By the way, God was glorified in both situations. I want you to understand that. There's not necessarily anything wrong with going out and letting people know your needs. And there's nothing wrong with letting God know your needs and letting Him provide. He works in all different ways for His designs to happen. But I learned something. I learned that when I am still and I talk to the Lord, great things happen. And His name is glorified. There were a lot of lost people that were very impressed. I remember at one point, you know those little fob key things you have like at CVS and Kroger and stuff like that they scan so you can get the deals. Well, I did that. I went in and bought two cans of corn. I never shop at Kroger, but I'd gone to, we were in Senatobia at the time, and I went into South Haven. Becky called me, I need two cans of corn for some reason. So I went in and bought two cans of corn at Kroger, and that entered me in a contest. I didn't know. I mean, it just did it because I scanned that little thing that she had put on my thing, and so we got a steak dinner out of it, and they brought us up, and it was a big doings. You know, we could have won like $50,000. We didn't. I think we got $250, which is pretty good, you know. But the amazing thing is, we needed $250. Who would think you're going to get $250 from Kroger just by going through and buying a couple of cans of corn. You know, that's kind of weird things. But while we were at that banquet, we were sitting at this table with all these people, and we were talking about that. We were talking about we were going to China, and we were sharing how we hadn't really told a lot of people, and that God just kept giving us things. And those two of them were lost, and they were very, very impressed. They couldn't believe that. And one, the guy called me, and we had several conversations, and he was from South Haven, so I got him connected with Bill King, the pastor, a friend of mine up in South Haven, and Bill led that guy to the Lord. Just because I was quiet and let God do that. Now, God does a lot of different things, and we understand it. Folks, there's a lot of danger. Write this down in noise. I watch TV every day at lunch. About all I watch. We got a couple of shows Becky and I like to watch, and the girls, and we may tape them, and when they come home, we'll watch them. But and every day at lunch, I watch TV for about 30 minutes while I'm eating my lunch, and I usually watch the old people's channel. Usually, it's the Beverly Hillbillies. I love the Beverly Hillbillies, or Home Improvement. I like that. But the interesting thing to me, more than the TV show, are the ads. And you know what I'm talking about. Over half of the ads are from lawyers trying to get you to sue a doctor, a medicine manufacturer, or some asbestos company. How many of y'all can relate to that? You see these commercials a lot. Even if you're already dead, apparently you can sue them and get money, you know. And the other half of the ads are for adult diaper companies. I don't know. But anyway, last week I saw a new one, and I always perk up when I see a new one because they're all the same. It was an opportunity to sue a manufacturer of earplugs. And if you had been in the Army, where's Bobby? Bobby knows about that. Bobby, listen. Bobby's what? Bobby's listening. If you've been in the Army and you use these earplugs and your hearing was damaged, you can get a cash settlement of up to $100,000, you know, minus the $99,999 that you have to pay the lawyer, you know, for getting it. So I called my brother because my brother can't hear thunder because he lost his hearing in the Army. He was in the artillery, and they had these bogus, literally, they had these bogus earplugs things. And so I called him, and I told him about it, and the first thing he said was, "What?" You know, he said, "What?" And he said, "What did you say?" And I never did get it through to him, you know, what had happened. And I'm not really poking fun at someone that's lost their hearing. But folks, there is danger in that. If you can't hear, you can be in trouble, you know. There's great danger not being able to hear. And there's even more danger, guys that are married, there is even more danger when you don't listen. You know what I'm talking about? Your wife sends you to the store and you don't listen, and you get over there and you come home with half the store, none of what she gave you, told you to get. Now, here are some ways that we as Christians misuse noise to cover up our relationship with Jesus and stay away from Him. First of all, we go through phony motions, and you know what I mean. We make a lot of noise about serving God. We make a lot of noise about how close we are to God, but we're really not close to Him at all. Adolf Hitler once said, if you say a lie loud enough and often enough, people are going to believe it. And he proved that, didn't he? He proved that. And many of us do this. We play the church game. Write this down. We play the church game on Sunday so loudly that we fool everyone. We even fool ourselves, you know. We don't like silence at all. We do not like silence. We don't like silence in our worship. You know, our verse says, be still and know that I'm God. You know, we want noise in our worship. And let me show you what I'm talking about. If you would, bow your head. Close your eyes, bow your head. If you will, just do that for me. Everybody close your eyes and bow your head, okay? If I can figure out how to do this, I'm going to do this. So, everybody bow your head. You got your head bowed? Some of y'all are looking. Don't look. Shh. That's fine. You can look. That was kind of awkward, wasn't it? People don't like that. They don't like being still. That was 1 minute. See, I was going to do it for 10, but I figured most of y'all end up leaving. It's just hard to be still that long. Y'all did better. I've had churches that couldn't do it. I've tried that before. They couldn't be still for 1 minute. It was awkward. What if I had waited, 5 minutes? Some of you guys would have really left. We do not like silence. We like motion. We like the idea of being loud. And in fact, if we are loud enough, it allows us to fade away from involvement. No one will miss us if the service is loud enough. We can keep coming to church. We can enjoy the show. Everything will be great. And then we can go home and we can stay as far away from God as ever. Write it down. Noise allows people to hide. And really, that's why I think noisy churches are very popular. So how, in the midst of the noise of the world, and even within the modern church, can we be still? The only way we can be still is to spend time alone with God. Now, by the way, there is nothing wrong with lively worship. You're probably thinking, Brother Alex just doesn't like lively worship because he's old. By the way, I don't think lively worship is sinful. They had loud worship in the Bible. 1 Chronicles 15:16 says, then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives the singers with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud sounding cymbals to raise sounds of joy. There's nothing wrong with loud noise and loud music and lively worship. We're going to be doing it in heaven. If you don't like it here, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, it says, out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And the 24 elders, that's us, will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns. They're going to throw them down before the throne and say, worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. Does that sound like, oh, ho, ho? We're just going to have nothing wrong with a little noise in worship. So don't take what I'm saying as that. But folks, write this down. If you really want to get close to God when you are alone with Him and when you shut up and are silent and listen to Him, then you will be close. Now, I enjoy hanging out with my wife. My wife is my best friend. I enjoy hanging out with other people as well. But you know what? When I'm going to tell you, I get closer to my wife and closest to my wife when we are alone and I shut up and listen. That's hard for me. Most of you know me, and you know it's hard for me to shut up. One of the most guys and you ladies, I could get some amens here, I'm sure. One of the most common legitimate complaints of married women is that their husbands will not listen to them. We don't like to listen. We want to fix things. Sometimes women just want to talk. They don't need us to fix it. They don't need us to give our opinion. They just want to talk. And if you will listen, you will grow closer to them. But if you get busy and you try to fix it and you won't shut up, you won't be closer to them. Y'all have a talk. And when the talk's over, because of you and your big mouth, guys, you won't be closer at all. You'll be further away. And that can go both ways, too, because sometimes guys really need their wives and children and others to listen to them and show respect to them. We'll talk about that a little more next week when we're talking about fathers. But it makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to be close to somebody, you need to listen to them. If you want to be close to God, you need to be willing to be still and listen to Him. If you want people to see God in you, then you must be willing to be quiet and listen to Him and what He has to say for you. Then people are going to you, and that people are going to see Him in you. Noise can be dangerous when it is made by us going through, write this down, phony motions are covering up the fact that we are mere spectators and not participants. And I've seen this in worship services. You know, when I was a youth minister and a music director, and I played the guitar, and we had some pretty lively worship in churches where I was a minister of music. And many, many times I would see people just having a big old time out there in the worship, and I knew they were faking it. That's not worship when you're faking it. That's not worship. I don't care if you're sitting here quietly when we're worshiping, or I don't care if you're jumping up and down over the pews worshiping. If you're faking it, that's not worship. And that goes for the worship leaders as well. The real key is in our verse. Be still and know that who is God? God is God. And He will be exalted when you do that among the heathen, and He will be exalted all over the world. Perhaps I've hit a nerve with you this morning. I hope so. I hope you're going to leave this place, and if you're playing the game, stop it, and that you will be still, and you will walk with Jesus. But write this in, you cannot walk with Him if you do not know Him, if you do not have a relationship with Him. You know, you can't walk and have the close relationship that you should have. I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, and they weren't married. They were living together, but they weren't married, and they were really struggling in their relationship. And they just said, we're just not very close like we should be. And I explained to them, because they said they both were Christians, and I explained to them that Christians should be married before they live together. Now, I know you think, well, that's just old-fashioned and fuddy-duddiness, but no, I don't think that it is old-fashioned. I think that sex and things of that nature should be saved till after you are married. You need to be married before you get into that type of a relationship. And I'm not the only one. Even secular psychologists and all say that marriages that work better when you wait. It doesn't work better when you live together and try it out first. You have a harder time with marriage. Well, anyway, they were struggling. And they were open and they were willing to listen to me about that type of thing. And the problem is they did not have the type of relationship they needed in order to be close to each other the way they wanted to be. And perhaps you're here that way, and you would like to be close to God, and you would like to be close to other Christians, but you're struggling with that, and the problem is you don't have the relationship with God that you need to have with Him in order to have that type of thing. And that means perhaps you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. Perhaps you're living in sin. Perhaps you have a habitual problem, and you realize that. You need to come to the point where you are willing to turn from your sins to Jesus and form that relationship. And you do that by repenting and believing on Him and calling upon His name and asking Him to save you and form that relationship. At that very moment, it's just like getting married. You can now have the relationship you need to have with the Lord Jesus. But until you come to the point of salvation where you have asked Jesus to save you, you are not going to be able to have the relationship where you're able to walk with Him and listen to Him and understand His Word. So I invite you at this point in this service, in a moment when we have our invitation, to come and ask Jesus to save you, because until you do that, you're just going to continue to struggle. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And Christian, perhaps you know you have a relationship with Him. You know, you don't lose that relationship. You may get involved in sin and you may get away from Him and He may get, you know, but it doesn't mean you're lost. It just means you need to repent and return to Him and begin to walk with Him again. Don't allow the noise of this world to keep you from Him. Be still and know that I am God, that He is God. And He will, if you are a Christian, be exalted in your life and among all the heathen, because He is God. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I lift this time of invitation up to You. I know that perhaps there are people here that are struggling. All of us, Lord, get too involved in worldly activities that keep us from our relationship with You. And I pray that You would help us to begin to really take off from those things so that we can become closer to You. Help us all to understand that if we can be still and we can spend time with You, and we can back off from some of the things that are keeping us away from You. Lord, if we're too busy for You, we're too busy. So, Lord, I pray, especially if there's someone here that needs You, that doesn't have that relationship, that right here and right now today, they would come to You. And, Lord, I pray that if there are Christians that are struggling, I pray that they would repent and say, I want to be close to You, not the world. I don't want to be your enemy anymore. I want to be close to you. Help us all to obey you and do what you want us to do. Follow you and do, and Lord, you are God. Help us to be still and realize that. And when we do, the lost people around us and other Christians around us are going to see that, and we'll set an example that will be glorifying to you. Help us to obey your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.